I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Stay tuned following Jeremy and you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey,
happy Thursday. It's beautiful outside today. I don't know if it's going to get humid, though. I didn't feel that yet this morning. But it is very, very nice out. The lawn's got to get mowed this weekend, though. The little bit of rain we have gotten has caused the lawn to have to get mowed.
Okay, Dad.
It's going to happen this weekend. I mean, it's all right. The lawn's got to get mowed now. That's all right.
Thanks, Dad.
Talking with Patrick Hammer last week, I hadn't realized how long it had been. And he was like, yeah, like you've noticed you haven't mowed your lawn. And it struck me like lightning. I was like, you're right. It's absolutely correct. I should have known.
It's going to be kind of humid at points today, but can we just stop with that part, the humidity? I don't care about anything else.
The humidity, I was going to say, I'm a big heat guy, but the humidity can calm down.
Yeah.
Just a hair. Just a little bit.
That's all I want. I'm not asking for much.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are getting close, though. Tomorrow begins the Premier League. I know a lot of people in Western New York do watch English soccer. I am one of them. I do not need to find a Premier League team like one Owen Parker. I already have my team, sadly. I didn't even try to push my team on him because that is my cross to bear, not his. He does not deserve that.
And what is your team, you?
West Ham.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think one, Brian Mazurowski, is also a West Ham supporter as well. I think he's been longer than I have, though. Like, I'm 2014, 2015-ish is when I jumped into that because of the World Cup in Brazil. That's kind of what got me into soccer, and I went that way. I think he's been longer. So it's even more of a cross for his to bear. But I was not going to put that
on. So they're just, like, not ever that good?
No. They're very rarely super good. When I got into them, though, funny enough, because the Bills are getting a new stadium, they were getting a new stadium, and it was supposed to be this big thing. It's the London Stadium. They just had it in the 2012 Olympics, and it was going to be this big deal. 60,000-person-seater, and it's going to put them over the top. They were going to become one of these big teams in England. They're already in London, right? That has not been the case. They have had periods of success, but oftentimes it is then followed by a period of very little success and the fear of relegation. They did win a trophy in this time, which has been cool, but it's the Europa Conference League, which is like the third tier of European soccer, like these like other tournaments they do, which I've always kind of enjoyed. And now they're expected to potentially get relegated this year. So I was not going to put that on Owen. Like Josh is trying to get Owen to be an Everton fan, and I'm like, don't do that, man.
What a fall from grace for the antagonists of Ted Lasso.
That was my favorite thing in Ted Lasso. So I'm like, they're making West Ham the villains. Of all the teams,
we're picking West Ham, baby.
In real life, Ted Lasso takes over a team like West Ham and is like, yeah, bring them up. And in this, they're like, no. Rupert's office is going to look like the Death Star. That's how evil they are. Incredible. That show's coming back for a fourth season.
It is.
I don't love that.
I don't either, but also they did kind of hit on all cylinders before.
I mean, it was a really good show. I enjoyed it. I will never say it was one of my favorites of all time. I think it's a really good sports show. I didn't love the ending. I thought the ending became a little too, oh, this is too perfect kind of deal. Mm-hmm. But it ended on such a note where I'm like, you know what? That fits the tone. And then they kind of set up that they were going to do, you know, a spinoff, and that was exciting. And now it sounds like they're not doing that.
Now, hang on. What do you mean that sounds too perfect? Sometimes sports stories really are. Okay, even Hollywood couldn't have written that script.
No, I mean, that's right. But, like, it got to, like,
So I don't want to hear it.
Ted never became like a good coach. And then like he eventually became – like he discovered a tactic in soccer that had been used forever and it works because Jamie Tartt's there. It was a bit much. It was a bit much. Again, I liked it a lot.
You need the right personnel for the system.
Right. I liked it a lot. The first season, I think, is genuinely great.
Or you
television.
Need the right system for the personnel, and that's what he figured out.
He's the epitome glue guy coach.
He's
he
the
just
glue guy
brings
coach.
The best out of everyone, and that's what makes them a good team. He doesn't need to know tactics.
I guess he would be the glue guy. The problem is, like, that's usually, like, your third string right guard is your glue guy. Like, you're not going to see the field, but, like.
Does he make the team good?
His pregame speeches are immaculate.
Yeah. So does it matter how he gets there?
No, it's fair.
He's a motivator.
I guess he is the
He's
glue guy.
He's a motivator.
Yeah. He's a motivator. Yeah.
That's an archetype in college football.
Yeah. No, I guess he is a motivator. I the season four, he's going to, not to spoil the show, but like.
Don't spoil the show. Don't do it.
It ended in a way where it's like, okay, Ted's story's done. Cool. And they're like, no. We like money.
We like money. Yes, that is exactly why, by the way.
And I'm looking so little forward to it. It's going to happen. The season will pass by, and I'll be like, oh, that happened? Interesting. Which is sad. I really did like that show.
It is. It's a money thing. It's a cash grab. Most comebacks of shows and IPs and movies,
right.
Like, that's usually how it goes, is we like money, and we know people are
What's
going to
work.
Buy it.
Yeah.
Even if it's potentially bad.
Even if it's going to almost definitely be bad.
But that's how it goes. And that's on my generation. We kind of buy into the nostalgia thing too.
The nostalgia is hard, yeah. Although like,
I remember this thing when life didn't stink all the time.
But then every now and then, though, you get one that hits. Top Gun Maverick was an absolute callback to, you remember this movie you loved back in the 80s? Like, we're going to bring it back. And everyone's like, this is actually awesome.
But again,
isn't it Tom Cruise's, I think, highest grossing movie ever? Good for him.
But very rarely
is
the payoff as good as the potential.
Yeah.
And that's something that, like, why do you think there's so many remakes done nowadays?
Mm-hmm.
To grab people my stinking age and we go, oh, I remember that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, remember pogo sticks?
We're going to bring them back.
We're going to bring them back. I don't know. I don't know if they've actually brought back pogo sticks. That'd be, or have they ever died?
Were they ever a thing? I mean, that's the real
Put it
question.
On the poll. Was pogo sticks ever a thing?
Was it ever actually popular?
Don't put it on the poll, Josh.
Speaking of payoffs and potential, though, we did get the news yesterday. James Cook gets his contract, 4 years, $48 million, although we eventually now got more of the details via SpotTrack.
We did get the details now. And
SpotTrack has it at 4 years, $46 million. And I will say, an interesting note on the James Cook extension. It sounds like of the almost $30 million he'll get, it's about 28.8. It sounds like he's getting 25 of that. Within the next year.
By March.
Yeah. He gets 15.2 guaranteed at signing. And then this is, again, via SpotTrack, Mike Jannetty. He's going to get around 10 next February, March, around that area. And so most of his contract.
Most of that guaranteed money, it's already paid out. And most of that contract, you're right, is able to be a cut bait contract.
And so on that, and Mike and Chris brought this up yesterday, too. It's like, it's weird to like look at a contract and go, when's the soonest I can get out of it? Like, that's never a right way to look at a contract for any sports player. You should be just excited you have them and moving on, where now I think many of us have gotten to show me the details. I want to know how bad this is going to hurt in 3-4 years. But for the Bills with James Cook, the dead cap hit this year is the worst. He's not going to get cut. Next year, it's 9.6. And then it drops aggressively, 11.3. And then now, in 2 years, $8 million and then 4.7. I mean, they really front loaded this contract so that it's kind of essentially a 3-year deal.
And that's how you kind of want to play it. And that's something we were bringing up yesterday of, if this is effectively a 3-year deal, you can move on because of how volatile the running back position
mm-hmm.
can be
mm-hmm.
for a player. We saw and continue to see players that hit age 28, 29, and they fall off of a cliff.
Yep.
Very rarely do you get someone that's a success story into their 30s. Derrick Henry, 31, is probably your rare case right now. And even then, no guarantee he stays that player for the next 3 years.
He has become a little bit of a Tom Brady, though, where we're all expecting the fall off, and he just kind of refuses to have it. I don't know how long that'll last, but also, you look at Derrick Henry, we all get it. He's 6'3", 230. He's not built like every other running back. That's the big thing for him. Barkley is sort of the one I look at and go, man, is he really going to keep going? He's a physical athlete, don't get me wrong, but he's also, yeah, like he's a top five running back pick. He's not the physical, like you say with Henry, he's built in the lab. I mean, you don't get that guy.
Test tube, baby.
Yeah, you don't get him every once in a generation. I mean, he's once every 35 years. You get that kind of player,
that kind of build, that kind of physical player, mm-hmm. at a position that demands physicality, he brings it to you.
Yeah.
And he's still great. It's like, okay, that's cool. And you see how quickly a career like Todd Gurley's went away from him. And you're just like, all right, it's clear that somebody had to stand the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, ready? We're talking about Derrick Henry. He's 31. That tells you the point about running backs in its entirety right there. He's 31, and we're talking like, oh, he has been here forever doing this. No, it's just the possession.
Yeah, he's been in the league only since 2016. It really has not been that long.
And that's the position. That is running backs.
Mm-hmm.
That is how it goes, is that we're marveling that someone is still at the top of their game at 31 years old.
What's crazy, too, so it just real quick on Henry here. What's really crazy about him, his first 2 years in the league weren't all that impressive. The Titans hadn't figured out how to use him. So in the quote-unquote best years to use a running back, they weren't.
They didn't.
They didn't do it well. They eventually figured out his third year. He goes over 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. Then you start to see the Derrick Henry, we all know, 1,500 yards, 2,000 yards. Drops off a little bit because he only plays 8 games in 21. But then he's right back.
And still almost gets 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he's right back to it. He has not had under double-digit touchdowns since his second year in the league. Last year, he goes off for over 1,900 yards. If he would have hit the 2,000 mark, he would have been the first running back to do it twice, right?
Right.
I believe that's right, yeah. But even then, you never know when the cliff's going to come for him. Saquon Barkley, this year, we have no idea what it's going to be for him. He had the most touches of his career last year since his rookie year. His rookie year, he had 352 touches because obviously he's both a receiving and running back. Last year, he had 378.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we mentioned that number yesterday, the 370 mark.
Which Henry has hit that, and then he missed half the season.
Mm-hmm.
So like, even Derrick Henry was not
able
to omit from the curse of 370.
His 2,000-yard season, he had 397, and then, yep, misses most of the season.
Yeah, misses half the year the next year. Still almost gets to 1,000 yards, so how cursed was he really?
Well, I mean,
but he was injured.
But then even the year after that, he hits 382, goes for 1,500 yards, but then it drops the next year. He goes for 308 total touches, and he drops 400 yards rushing. Last year, he goes back up to 344. But he is sort of the marvel. And the thing is, too, that's not even who to, like, put James Cook in the same category as.
Correct. We're just talking about the player that
the fear was, though, if they paid him $15 million, well, now this is who we have to talk about. This is who we have to compare him to. Instead, he hits around 11.5 is actually his average salary per spot track. And so on that, he's more around the Kyren Williams, Josh Jacobs sort of mold. You know, he is the guy that only gets about 48% of the touches or 48% of the snaps, excuse me. And it does not sound like, we talked with Sal yesterday, Brandon Bean spoke. It does not sound like just because they paid him, they're going to use him more. They want the role he does, the role he has on the team. They just want him to keep doing it and perhaps get even better at it, right? Maybe have a few more explosive runs, maybe break more out in the passing game. But ultimately, what they're asking him, they want him to do. It's just, it is curious to me, and this is something I like. And I mean, we could go back into the other contracts they've signed this year. I haven't necessarily looked at all of those a ton. But this is something I like the Eagles do, where it's a lot of cash up front so that you can absorb the dead cap hits later on, where all of a sudden they become much more manageable. I mean, you see here, it's an $8 million cap hit if they cut him in 2 years. But that's like a disaster scenario they do it. If they do it in 3 years, it's super manageable.
Yeah. And that's exactly what you think the contract is going to be I would say the whole time, because you consider how much of the money is guaranteed, on a four-year deal like that, before we even got the details, we were kind of leaning into this might be effectively a three-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
Because most NFL contracts seem to work that way, where you can cut bait in that last year, typically. But it's the volatility of the running back position to where, yeah, this is effectively a three-year deal. The term then doesn't entirely kill you. Mm-hmm. Not that 4 years would.
No, and that's right. And we mentioned that. This was never going to be an albatross or an anchor contract for the Bills where they're just like, we can't get out of this. Like this is absolutely hamstringing them to what they want to do. It won't. I know we do look at guys like Curtis Samuel in terms of his $7 million cap hit. That's kind of been a hit for them. That's more a hit towards the end of free agency where they maybe want to do some things with guys being available on the trade block, what have you, that they kind of can't.
Mm-hmm.
But we also wouldn't be having this conversation about Samuel if he stayed healthy. Same will be true of James Cook. If he stays healthy, we're not going to have a lot of these conversations. They'll be just fine. They'll be able to add more guys. I do wonder, though, if this will cause them to have some tough decisions about the interior of their offensive line with McGovern, Torrence, Edwards. I mean, what is that going to do for them?
You might need to replenish via the draft very quickly, very capably. And that's the other part, capably.
Yep, and McGovern is also on the last year of his contract. I mean, that's where Joe jokingly said, like, wouldn't it be funny?
No, well, not at all.
But it is a conversation we will probably have to have in the next few months of, are they going to bring back McGovern? Or was the hope going to be having Cedric Van Pran Granger eventually take over the role?
Be ready in the wings all along.
Mm-hmm. Which for many people, even last year, had that feeling because we didn't know what McGovern was going to be at center, obviously, with Mitch Morris leaving. I know there were conversations amongst Bills fans of like, is he going to take over sooner rather than later?
Is that the draft starts?
Yeah. Now we don't really know. Van Pran Granger has not practiced at all in training camp. I think it's a calf injury that he's had. And so we really have not been able to see him at all. But perhaps that's been the Bills' big plan all along, is ultimately we're going to let McGovern walk because we have a guy in-house who for 2 years would have been working with Aaron Kromer, who's worked wonders for them on the offensive line, not even just with the starters, but the backups as well, and he slides right in. We'll see if that still is the case, but they've also got other guys that they've drafted, you know, that are, I don't want to say waiting in the wings because maybe not true, but that they always have depth. They have depth that maybe one of the most important groups an NFL team can have, which is the offensive side of the trenches. Now they've done the same on the defensive side as well. We're going to see how much that hits for them this year. And for me as well, and I was having this feeling yesterday with the Cook stuff. Like as important as it was, as much you know conversations as it got to, it was always at most just an annoyance to me. I never thought Cook would miss games, especially with how he was handling himself. I never really was banging the drum to you need to pay a running back. If anything, I was quite the opposite. But I got to there yesterday. I'm about a 6 out of 10 on it. I'm above average. It's fine. He is their biggest playmaker outside of Josh Allen. They need him there. But for me, like the big storyline for most of this offseason has been the defense, has been the defensive line, has been the safety room. And it still holds true today. I'm like, I think the offense will be fine. To me, it has always now still been about the defense.
What's the line I said yesterday? Back to your regularly scheduled programming. Yeah.
So I'm right back to like, okay, what is TJ Sanders doing? Is Cole Bishop healthy? Is Deion Walker still looking like a bit of a force as a fourth round pick? What's Landon Jackson doing? Bosa, is he healthy?
Trey White able to hold it down? When can we see Harrison back? Everything that we have questions about is on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Is Matt Milano back to his usual wrecking ways? These are all defensive questions. Like, I'll yield one question to the wide receiver position of who is going to be the next player to step up this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the only question now that you have on the offensive side of the football? Yes. Well, the other might be, can Dalton Kincaid improve on his numbers?
But to be fair, that's the wide receiver room as a whole. They've always treated Kincaid as one of their receiving weapons.
So ready? That's it. That's the only question that I have. Because Kincaid can then fall into the who steps up on the receiving end this year. That's it then. Cool. That's the only question that you have on the offense. The defense has too many of them. And they took this offseason and acted like they had a bunch of questions on defense.
Yeah, they tried to answer as many of them as possible. Yeah.
They acted like a team that knew they had questions to answer, and they are trying to find those answers. And it's still to a point where the popular thing when these two players asked for trades, it makes way more sense for the Bills to add Micah Parsons versus Terry McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
Even after all the changes that they've made on the defense this year, it still is the question that you answer with, yeah, you know, the Bills should still go get the pass rusher.
Yeah, that's been the dragon they've been chasing for years.
Kind of the Achilles heel of this team with this regime is that they have not been able to get the top end pass rusher. And the one that they do throw a bunch of money to in a reactive state looks the part until he gets hurt. So even Bad Luck has chimed in on the search for the pass rusher, the defensive end.
Mm-hmm. In 11 games played that year for Von Miller in 2022, he had 8 sacks. He had 10 tackles for loss, 12 QB hits. He was the part that you wanted. I mean, that's the shame of it. They did get it right. They paid a lot of money to get it right, but they got it right, and then he got hurt.
And then he got hurt, and then it became very wrong, unfortunately, very fast for them.
Mm-hmm. Which is, to be fair, true of most contracts. You pay with the hope that they don't get hurt. If they do and they miss a lot of game time, then it hurts. That's when it stings. You can usually live with bad contracts because you're getting great players. We all said it when Von was signed. It didn't matter if they won a Super Bowl. And to start that year, what'd they have against the Rams to start the year? Like 5 sacks? I mentioned too, Rousseau breaks out in his second year with Von Miller helping out. It looked perfect.
It looked like it was going to be the piece that they needed until...
But now they're back to the drawing board. They get Joey Bosa. He looked very good in his first preseason action. Not a ton, but individually he looked very good. And that's a big thing with the preseason as well. We try to look much more individuals rather than the Bills on conversion downs, fourth and third down combined, going 11 of 19 defensively on those conversion downs. They were horrific as a team. But individually, TJ Sanders looked very good. Deion Walker looked very good. Michael Hoyt and Joey Bosa looked very good. Matt Milano. Right back to where...
Looks like he's right back to where he should be.
You know,
could be.
The one I'd maybe be worried about is, are they going to target CB2 a lot?
Yes.
With Trey White. But also, we do know they don't really game plan. So there is probably, hey, don't go out there throwing your body around trying to make a play. Just sit back five, seven yards back and just make an open field tackle.
But also the answer is, of course they're going to target corner two. Who's on the other side of the field?
Right, right.
Like, of course that's going to happen because I saw a... surprising amount of worry about Trey White after that first preseason game. And I'm sitting here going, the only play I really didn't like from him was when he got dragged to a first down.
Right.
That was the only really what I'd call quote-unquote bad rep.
Mm-hmm.
There's even a punch out. Goes out of bounds.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Who jumped on that fumble? It wasn't Andreessen, right? Oh, no, nobody even did.
Yeah, it got out of bounds.
Yeah, it went right out of bounds. Nobody jumped on it.
But that's still, I'm going to expect corner two, no matter who it is, if it's White or Hairston, to have a lot more attention and show a little bit more signs of struggle. Why? Because they're seeing the football a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not going to be an indictment on cornerback two, whoever it may be. It's going to be teams recognize, yeah, we don't like throwing to that guy over there.
But the hope is... he holds it down enough to where you kind of have to go to the other side. Or Hairston comes out, you know, even after this injury and is able to take that spot back. And that's ultimately the hope constantly is that they eventually get to a point where you have to target Benford. Because even targeting Hairston or White is a bad idea. We'll see with the safety room as well. Cole Bishop, he's back out there. It seemed in full yesterday. And we'll get more on practice yesterday and what is to come this week for the Bills as they get ready to travel to Chicago for a joint practice tomorrow. Sal Capaccio joining the show when we come back. You're listening to the Extra Point Show on WGR. back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on the show today. But for the next few minutes, we will go to the Wester Hotline. No Bills practice today as the team gets ready to travel to Chicago for a joint practice tomorrow. But still a lot going on yesterday. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Pretty good, guys. Yeah, it's going to be a filled weekend with, you know, joint practice, obviously, and a game on Sunday night. So today the team will hold a bit of a walkthrough and no media, and then travel to Chicago. And then tomorrow it will be, I think, a late morning, like kind of right when you're on here. Okay. So we'll see what we can do to kind of bring you some information about the practice. Still organizing that time. They're also an hour different, so I have to watch all that together. And then Sunday night is the game. I think national television as well, by the way.
I believe that is right. We do also know for that game, the Bears are going to be playing their starters. Head coach Sean McDermott joined Chauvin the Bulldog yesterday. No confirmation on if we'll have any starters playing for the Bills. But right. Sal, on the Bears, I don't know about you, but for me at least, I watched too much of that game against the Dolphins, the Bears game, to get to Quinn Ewers. Don't worry, it's my problem, not yours. But I was a little surprised to see Caleb Williams not play, especially just from the outside looking in, seeing him kind of somewhat struggle at practice. I was a little surprised to not see him out there.
Yeah, I didn't really watch any of that game, but I do know I'm reading the reports of what was going on at those joint practices, right? And last week they had the joint practice against the Miami Dolphins, and more than anything, I kept hearing how the Bears defense was dominating the Dolphins offense. But on Caleb Williams specifically, I do think it's interesting that here's Ben Johnson. He gets this job. He's the most coveted head coach on the market. He's a very good offensive mind. He's going to really kind of revamp what they're doing offensively. He has a second-year quarterback in Caleb Williams who, let's face it, struggled a bit last year, ups and downs, probably more so than people expected. And they are going with two straight weeks of joint practices. And that's fine, and that's what works for them. Like, I'm not here to judge, but it is interesting to me because I would normally think that a coach like that would want to keep rolling with installing their own stuff, getting them together and on the same page before going against other teams. But maybe that's how he feels he has to ready his team better, which is go against other live competition as quickly as possible. So from a Bears standpoint, I think that's really interesting.
I also saw, too, Ben Johnson speaking with the media, I think this was yesterday, mentioning that they are throwing a ton at Williams in the offense, yep. And that they're going to start pulling it back as they get closer to the regular season. I don't know if that's necessarily normal in the NFL. I kind of like it, though.
We'll see how it works out, right? I mean, there's all these different ways to do it. You know, do you install in pieces at a time and you grow it and you add more on as you go, or in this case, you throw as much as you can, you see what sticks, what you like, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I know, look, here in Buffalo, Joe Brady takes over as the offensive coordinator, and I ask him, how do you go about running your offense with what Josh has already been running, going back to Ken Dorsey or Brian Daboll and everybody kind of knowing, you know, what works, and he said, well, that's it. You start with what does Josh like, what works, and then you go from there. So there's always different ways to do it, and we'll see. We'll see how it works out for the Bears this season. But I like the fact that the Bills defensively have a full day of practice against a Ben Johnson offense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's going to be cool for them to get those reps on their defensive side.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Wester Hotline. Sal, injuries are still a lengthy list. Not as lengthy as like a couple weeks ago, but it's still threatening the double digits, if not in there. Deion Dawkins, most notably, was not at practice yesterday after Tuesday. And then, of course, the wide receiver room still also heavily banged up. Tyler Bass still not practicing. Max Hairston remains out. There's still a lot of question marks with the injuries, Sal.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I lost you guys for a minute. I don't know what you heard or did. You get the last of my response about the Ben Johnson offense and the Bills defense?
No, we heard all that.
Okay, great. Sorry that right at that moment I lost you guys, and that's why I asked if you were there. My apologies. All right, so injuries. Sorry, I think that's what you asked me about here, Derek. And yeah, there are definitely a bunch of injuries the Bills are still dealing with, including yesterday, down several wide receivers, right? I mean, like, this is just getting to a point where they're dipping so far into the depth chart at wide receiver. Now, that's great for those guys to get the opportunity when it comes time for that. But honestly, like, now, you know, you're missing not only Curtis Samuel, who's obviously been out for a little while here, hopefully getting back. Khalil Shakir, we know he's not coming back this week. But even yesterday, Elijah Moore and Tyrell Shavers both out yesterday. So wide receiver, you're dipping into the depth chart pretty good there. And then Joshua Palmer was definitely not completely right yesterday. He had a wrap on with a sleeve, and he was still doing everything, though. I didn't see him take a rep off, which was really great for him to show, you know, just that he's out there. But he also had a really good practice, by the way. He was making catches, and, you know, that's something that I think him and Josh Allen need to get on the same page, and I thought that was really working yesterday. Tyler Bass still out. I don't know what, you know, obviously they have Caden Davis as a kicker right now. They've kept him on the roster here. And they do have Ray Davis. I don't expect him to kick. Sean McDermott said one time was enough to kind of see them, make sure they could do it. But at what point, like, do you start to get really concerned about Tyler Bass not being able to kick, guys? I mean,
yeah, it's been
a
while.
This is now, yeah, I mean, it's been since the first week of training camp, right? You have to think, like, so training camp started on the 30th. I'd say, like, right around August 1st, let's say, one of those days, somewhere in there. I mean, we're talking 3 weeks now we're going on, 2.5 weeks, and still no Tyler Bass. So that's concerning. And then offensive line, I mean, I said to the guys this morning, I'll say it again. Ryan Vandermark is suddenly becoming a really important part of this Bills team because Deion Dawkins did not practice yesterday. He's your starting left tackle. He has a back flare-up, according to Sean McDermott, who told Schulten the Bulldog yesterday. Hopefully you get him back soon. Doesn't sound serious, but still, he missed. Spencer Brown is returning from that back injury, but he should be okay, right? It feels like that's the case, but you know, it's something that they managed a little bit earlier. Tylon Grable is in concussion protocol, so Ryan Vandermark now suddenly is a starter. So you never know. Alec Anderson is still out. That's an interior guy that they don't have right now. Suddenly Chase Lunt becomes interesting as a guy that can be a little bit flexible, maybe the rookie. Tackle, guard, what they want to do with him there. So, yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces here. The good news is they did get both safeties back yesterday, Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp. So that's really good news.
Yeah, and on the safety room, Sal, it felt like the last time we heard from McDermott with the media, not yesterday with Schulten the Bulldog, but with the media, there almost seemed to be, I don't want to say an aggressive tone, but there was some worry, it felt like, from McDermott talking about the safety room. Bishop missing as much time as he has. When he has been on the field, Sal, it does seem like it's been Bishop's job and no one else. There's not really a fight there. But what have you seen from him?
Yeah, he's I don't see the details of if he's lining up exactly properly every time, right? And all his keys. Like, that's for the coaches to know. But what I see is a really good athlete. And when he's on the field, I see him covering ground and I see a physical guy. And when I go back and watch last year's film, like, they used him all over. They used him in the box. They used him in center field. And I think that's kind of why they drafted him, A, and why they really needed him to be on the field. Because let's face it, guys. As much as, you know, DeMar Hamlin was a nice baseline guy to plug in there at times and had a couple interceptions, they need more. They need more athleticism. They need more higher-end talent. They need more, I think, you know, critical plays being made by the safety position. And that's where I think Cole Bishop can help, but that can't happen if he's not available. So from what I've seen from him, he's as advertised as far as the athlete. It's the catching up on, is he in the right spot? Does he know everything to do in every nuanced situation working next to Taylor Rapp? And that's what Sean McDermott's talking about. When he talks about Cole Bishop, when he talks about Taylor Rapp, some of these other guys, the biggest thing for Sean McDermott for the safety position is, especially that position, but it goes for linebacker, it goes for offensive line, defensive line, is you got to be able to work in tandem with the guy next to you. And if you're not getting time on task, then it doesn't matter even if, like, you're a really good player, because if one of you guys makes a mistake on the other guy, that can compound it with two mistakes being made, basically, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned kind of the versatility, too, how they used Bishop last year. One player that's getting praised for that, also the last time McDermott spoke with the media, Jordan Hancock, who I thought had a pretty solid game against the Giants, and he's being used everywhere, which is sort of what he was, you know, pegged to be out of Ohio State.
Yeah, I agree. I like the game he had. He obviously had the interception that did not count because Landon Jackson was offsides. He also had a really nice play on he came up and laid a lick on somebody in front of me, and I don't remember the exact play, but I remember saying, okay, that was a nice hit by Jordan Hancock. Nice tackle. When I talked to him after the game, I asked him about everything that's on his plate, and he was very interesting how he talked about making the transition. It sounded to me, okay, it just sounded to me like Jordan feels like he's here at safety for a little while, you know, and that makes sense considering the injuries they've had. So now, what happens this week? Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop are back. Do they start to move Jordan Hancock a little bit more back to the nickel? By the way, Cam Lewis wasn't at practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, like, something there where now you need a little bit more from Jordan Hancock there. So the thing about Bobby Babbage reminds us, he is a rookie. He is a rookie. It's the details. Those are the things that matter. I like Jordan Hancock's future on the Buffalo Bills. I don't exactly know what position that future is. Maybe he's just a Cam Lewis and he does everything and that's just fine. I think they're really, really confident and comfortable, though, with Cam Lewis on this roster and being that guy right now until Jordan Hancock can learn all those nuances.
Sal, speaking on players that had a good showing back on Saturday last week, who are some players that you're looking for that can try to build on a solid performance from last weekend and an opportunity to try to further cement their case with their standing on the roster?
Well, I think we'll go back to wide receiver here. Tyrell Shavers, obviously a guy that we've talked a lot about, and he had a really nice game.
Yep.
We didn't hear much from Elijah Moore. We kind of haven't. And I'll be honest, though, guys, it's not necessarily because he's done anything wrong. If you watch that, there's a viral clip of Elijah Moore running free down the middle of the field, and Mitch Trubisky didn't see him. What if he throws it to him and he catches it for a touchdown, right? I mean, we're like, oh, there's Elijah Moore. That's why you brought him in. But how about the injury to Curtis Samuel? Like, where does that stand right now? This opens the door for a guy like Tyrell Shavers. I'll give you another guy. It's Laviska Shenault. I want to see what the plan is here for Laviska Shenault going forward. He returned a punt in that game. He's never returned a punt in a regular season NFL game or a college game. But the fact that they gave him one in that game tells me they're trying to see what more he can handle, because if there's like, if he can do that and be effective, maybe there's a spot for him to also fit in on the roster at wide receiver. They threw him a ball in the two-point conversion. He made a nice catch, had another catch beside that. He also, as we know, is a main kick returner that they really like having back there. I think that's a guy that could, you know, start to show up a little bit, see what he can do. I like what Jackson Hawes did at tight end. Now, he's not surpassing Dalton Kincaid or Dawson Knox, but I just think this is a situation where this is a guy you're going to rely on a lot. He's going to be on the field in these blocking situations, especially. I don't know if you guys know, did you know about me giving the announcers jinx, unfortunately?
No.
Oh, no.
What happened?
Oh, yeah. So this, I should have gave myself an arrow down. An arrow up, arrow down. Like, I forgot when I wrote it. I made a note, give myself an arrow down, which I've done before, but here's what happened. So we go to break during a timeout, and the radio broadcast is during the commercial. And during the commercial, I said, hey, you know, we're walking through, like, who's bringing it back? What are we talking about? I go, oh, I got something on Jackson Hawes. I'll bring it back. Greg Harvey, our excellent, you know, director, producer, he's like, yep, absolutely. They count me down, come back, radio broadcast comes back. And I say, live on the air, you know, Jackson Hawes, rookie tight end, known as the best blocking tight end in the draft, but he has really good hands as well, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Buffalo Bills throw him a pass or two before this thing is over.
Mm-hmm.
What happened on the very next play?
Oh. Yeah. That was then? Yeah. Oh, no.
Preseason the very next play.
Don't beat yourself up. It's preseason.
I mean, yeah. So anyway, I do want to go back. I just think about that. It's funny because it reminds me of the fact that he is a rookie. And there's a lot going on for him, and maybe he just wanted to turn up field a little bit too soon. But I will tell you guys, in all honesty, he does have better hands than people gave him credit for. He did drop that pass, but he makes catches sometimes in practice, and you're like, okay, there he is. I want to see a little bit more from him, what he can do a little bit there. So I think that's a guy that I'll be looking at. On the defensive end, it's all about those young defensive linemen. I need to see more from Landon Jackson. I didn't love his game on Saturday. And that doesn't mean he can't be a lot better this week. And, you know, again, you guys are swimming upstream right now as rookies. I want to see more from Landon Jackson. The penalty obviously is notable, but he wasn't on the stat sheet at all. It really didn't make an impact. Maybe that changes this week. He gets another week under his belt. We'll see where that goes. On the other hand, I really did like what I saw from both Deion Walker and TJ Sanders, and I'd love for them to build off it.
And then, Sal, last thing for me here. We did get a little bit more on the details of James Cook's contract late yesterday, reading off of Mike Gennetti's Spot Track. And really, it kind of breaks down to 3 years, $30.1 million practical. It sounds like he's also going to get $25 million of his guaranteed money over the next year. I think all in all, the Bills did a really good job with this deal. And Cook himself also did a really good job getting a lot of this money up front.
Yeah, I agree. You know, say, man, James Cook is handling this very weirdly. He shows up and then he's not at practice and he doesn't practice. And then, you know, all the things that were said on social media and all of that. And, you know, I've said since the beginning, agent driven, like he's listening to his agent and he's giving him this advice and it just seems a bit odd. I've said all that. You know what, though? At the end of the day, I think his agent and him did really well for themselves. They got a nice paycheck here to put him more in line with some of the top backs in the league. And that's always been the aim. It wasn't the $15 million per year that was floated out there, but it's a nice paycheck. In the meantime, he can float out all these different numbers and put it as high as you want, because that's what agents do when they give the numbers to reporters. But I think the Bills did a good job of, you know, keeping the money down a little bit to allow them over the next 2 years, specifically this year and next year, to still have room around the cap. And then let's see where it goes from there. Let's remember, James is under contract for this year, and it's a four-year extension. It's basically a five-year deal. So you bake that into what he's getting up front to give him some money, and then you extend that out a little bit. Now you can have a little bit more room, and his salary cap got lowered this year by about $2 million. And then next year, his salary cap is basically what it would have been this year. So I think from that standpoint, Brandon Bean did a really good job to make sure that he's not offsetting his own plan building this team.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sal, trip to Chicago. Any big plans? I mean, you guys are getting there a little bit earlier than you normally would for a game.
Yes, we have plans. On Saturday,
here we go.
I will be attending the Cubs-Pirates game at Wrigley Field.
There we go.
Booyah.
Have you ever been to Wrigley Field before?
Yes, one time, 2018, I believe, it was 2018, Josh's rookie year, I think it was, the Bills played the Bears in a preseason game. You guys remember that big comeback the Bills had, like, late? It was A.J. McCarron.
McCarron sighting in a Bills uniform.
Yeah, if I remember right, because they played at Chicago a few times in preseason, but I think that was the year a bunch of us in the media went to Wrigley Field the day before and sat in the bleachers. It was really hot. It's going to be hot on Saturday, too, but yeah. Chicago's a really fun city. It's a great summer city, and the Pirates and Cubs, Pirates happen to be in town playing the Cubs, although I don't believe Paul Skeens is pitching. That would have been really cool, but yeah, going to hit that up on Saturday.
Fantastic. Enjoy the trip. Fly safe. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Sal.
That was Sal Caponcio there on the West Her Hotline. I have heard that about Chicago almost 100% unanimously. It is a beautiful summer city. Never been. I almost went a few years ago back when I was in college. Didn't end up going. It was going to be in the summer. That is a city I do want to hit up. And also, Derek, I will tell you, now that I've been to more Major League Baseball games, I didn't go a ton when I was younger. Being an Angels fan, the team I followed, you know, they're on the West Coast. I want to start hitting up more ballparks. I really do.
I want to say I feel like the thing that I'd want to watch the most is probably the Bulls, if they get good.
Yeah, you're asking almost for a miracle at that point.
Yeah,
with that.
But also, that's a value ticket right now if I go.
Mm-hmm.
So
go see the arena and all the banners and stuff like that.
Yeah, why not, right?
It's so funny with the Bulls.
Yeah,
they were bad before Jordan got there, really good when Jordan got there, and then really bad after he left with a few years with Derrick Rose in there where they were good.
Yeah, they sprinkled in a little bit of that, but I think it would be cool to go to that stadium and just – it's a cheaper ticket right now than anything else
cheaper
in Chicago,
ticket,
probably.
Almost anything else,
other than White Sox games. Don't ever go to White Sox games.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number one here on a beautiful Thursday. Do have a little bit of NFL news revolving around the Chiefs. Wide receiver Rashi Rice is expected to have his disciplinary hearing with the NFL on Tuesday, September 30th. And this is coming from Adam Schefter. This would mean that Rice is now likely to be available to play the first 4 weeks of the season. However, he is absolutely expected to be suspended following a multi-car crash in Dallas. That was back in the 2024 offseason. We already know Jordan Addison has picked up his suspension. He's going to miss, I think, the first 3 weeks. I imagine Rice is between 4 and 6 games with how publicized this was and everything. I think he's going to miss 4 to 6, 4 being the most likely. With that being said, if he's available for the first month and maybe even a little bit more and then gets suspended, let's put in the middle 5 games. I don't think the Chiefs like that at all. I think the Chiefs absolutely would rather he misses the first 4 games of the season. We'll have him back, and there's no worry. We just go the rest of the way. But for him to potentially miss the middle portion of the season, not great. That would also coincide with the Bills game, most likely, depending on what the suspension is. And for them, I think being in a tougher division now with Denver. We'll see what the Chargers look like this year. I know I was a little bit higher on them than you are with Rashawn Slater news. I have dipped a little bit, but I've always been very high on Denver this offseason. I do wonder how much the Chiefs actually do want to have him not be suspended early. He is going to get suspended.
It's
I think to get it out of the way early, it's ripping the Band-Aid off.
If it looks like it's the middle of the season, say it's after week four and anywhere between 4 to 6, right? That means that he might miss the Bills game?
Yeah, Bills play them week 9.
The middle of the season looks like this. Jacksonville, Detroit, Las Vegas, Washington, Buffalo. It avoids Denver. It avoids LA. There are three teams in there that are legitimate threats to beat you, even with Rashee Rice in the lineup.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One player doesn't make a roster when they're not a quarterback, but especially since the Chiefs proved that they could win without Rice all of last year after he got hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not helpful by any means, is what I would say to that, though.
But they can probably survive it.
If they can survive that, which they probably can because they showed that they have been able to, which is why the wide receiver thing never really gave me a headache in the first place, because the Chiefs are doing just fine without that.
I'll never forget Matt Verderam coming out with Sheldon Bulldog and being like, can the Bills win a Super Bowl with this wide receiver core? And he goes, the Chiefs won 2 with theirs, and it was maybe worse.
Right.
I don't think that was exactly what he said, but it was essentially the Chiefs won 2 with theirs, and it wasn't that great.
Yeah. So that's where I go ahead and look at this. The NFL would have an interesting thing to talk about, though, in that middle five.
Mm-hmm.
3 of those games are on network television, like national games.
Yeah, you know the Bills-Chiefs game is 4:25.
But then the Bills-Chiefs game as well. I'm talking about there's 4 of them here that the country is seeing.
Jacksonville's Monday night, Sunday night's Detroit.
Monday night,
who cares
Washington.
About Vegas, Monday night, Washington, and then the 4:25 Bills game, which is the game of the week, and they build it up like crazy. Yeah.
And say it is 6 games. He misses through the bye week, and it's Denver. So the decision of how many games he's suspended for is really going to factor into this.
Because if it's you miss the Bills game, but then you have the bye week, and then Denver, it's a nice, easy, we'll get you back into it. We'll get you reintegrated.
Which I do think the NFLPA will fight for that.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. With tomorrow being the joint practice, we'll jump into some of the guys we want to keep an eye on for preseason game number 2 on Sunday. Also, because they are playing the Bears, do want to jump in a little bit on the second-year quarterback conversation, because it feels like Caleb Williams for the Bears is maybe the only guy that has bad energy, negative aura, whatever you want to call it, bad vibes around him compared to everyone else that was drafted with him. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.